Insider Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub. Five locations, with a sixth now open in Chattahoochee, and by Dagwood Sandwiches and Salads.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How are you? Hello, Pierre. All right, we're having a bit of an issue with Pierre. Get Pierre on in just a second. But once again, Michael Forche. Have we got Pierre?
Well, I've been there from the beginning, and, you know, I think the group is really run by Stephen Bronfman, who's been having dialogue.
Let's try again to get Pierre Maguire with us. Pierre, are you there?
I am here, Mitch. How you doing?
Okay. I'm fine, thank you. Better now that we could hear your voice. Where are you?
I'm in Kent, Connecticut.
Where is that?
That's about 35 minutes north of Danbury, about 20 minutes south of Lakeville, Connecticut. It's in a beautiful part of the state. It really is. There's a big prep school tournament going on here, so that's where I am.
What are you doing? Your prep school tournament?
I'm watching games, you know.
Yeah,
I'm
you're scouting.
Watching games, trying to watch players, you know.
Yeah. So this story broke, and I hope you know about it, because I've done this to Billy over the years so many times.
Yeah, I already know about it. You're talking about Jimmy Roberts?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Jimmy, you know what, Mitch, I was sitting with two friends of mine who I know real well in the car when I got the text today. I've known about Jimmy being ill for a while. He was playing in a golf tournament not long ago, and he wasn't feeling well. It was a three-day event, and he went to see the trainers, and the trainer said, "This isn't good. Go see the doctor." And the doctors told him that he was in a bad spot. And believe it or not, I was supposed to try to get together with Jimmy this coming Monday in St. Louis. So, yeah.
Yeah, he has passed away today. He passed away today at the age of 75. The St. Louis Blues released a statement. I'm sure there's one coming from the Habs at some point, because this just happened within the last 90 minutes or so. The St. Louis Blues and the Blues alumni organization are deeply saddened by the passing of the original Blue, Jimmy Roberts. Jimmy was the franchise's first ever draft pick and was instrumental in building the foundation of Blues hockey as a player and upholding its tradition. His tireless contributions to St. Louis, the Blues, and the game of hockey as a whole will forever live as an example for future generations to follow. Our thoughts and prayers go out to his wife, Judy, and their two daughters. He was an original Blue, and a lot of people know him as a St. Louis Blue, but you and I know him also as a key member of the Montreal Canadiens. He had five Stanley Cups as a member of the Canadiens.
Number six. That's what I remember. Great two-way player. Could play forward in a game and play defense in a game. One of Scotty Bowman's most trusted players. Went to work for Scotty down in Buffalo. Was really good friends with Red Berenson. Jimmy came to my wedding up in Mont-Tremblant. We've been friends for a very long time. I was heartbroken today. I knew he was in a bad spot. I really thought I was going to see him Monday night in St. Louis. I called my mom today to tell her about it. Tough stuff. I mean, life isn't fair. Jimmy Roberts, 75, that's too young. It's just too young for that man. I just knowing his value for life and the type of teammate he was and the type of coach he was and the type of husband he was. Just very sad, very, very young.
He was a head coach for a brief period of time, right?
In Hartford, yep.
And I remember having a conversation with you about it, and he said, for those who are too young to ever see Toe Blake at a rink on the ice during practice, that's probably what he'd look like today. And you were talking of Jimmy Roberts.
Yeah, Jimmy wore the same cap that Toe used to wear, not hockey gloves, but, you know, warm winter gloves on the ice. Sometimes he'd have the butt end of a cigar in his mouth. I mean, Jimmy was just a throwback. But what he was an amazingly intelligent hockey man. When I was coaching Hartford, he was no longer in the league at the time. He was coaching in the American League, believe it or not. And I asked him to come and be an eye in the sky. And Jimmy worked in the Hartford Civic Center with me, talking to my assistants on the bench. It's a tough day. I mean, I had no idea it was going to happen this quickly. I think that's the thing that pains me the most. I knew he was sick, and I thought I'd get a chance to see him again. And it's a good example for everybody. Never take one day for granted with a friend or a family member. Never take one day for granted.
Longtime fans of the Montreal Canadiens of both the 60s and the 70s, because they got him back in the 70s. He played on the first two of the four straight in the 70s. In fact, that was before there was Carbon O'Nylon Gainey, there was Jarvis Roberts Gainey.
Well, he brought, and you can ask Dougie Jarvis, you can ask Riseborough, you can ask Gainey, and for Gainey in particular, who was a Peterborough guy, Roberts was a Peterborough guy. Roberts played for Bowman in Peterborough. You know, that's a thing that gets lost in all this. Again, Friday, emotional day, hard to deal with. Jimmy Roberts was a great hockey player, but he was as good a player as he was, Mitch, and you know this because I know you're probably underselling this.
Yeah.
Jimmy Roberts was a much better husband and a much better father and a much better person than he was a hockey player. He is a phenomenal human being.
Five-time Stanley Cup champ has passed away at the age of 75, Jimmy Roberts. We'll be back with much more on the game tonight and around the NHL with Pierre McGuire in 30 seconds.
The final buzzer. Two glorious points. You leap from your couch, chest bump the mirror, and go to bed. You call that winning? Ye Olde Orchard Pub begs to differ. Get the game with the energy and excitement it deserves at your friendly neighborhood Ye Olde Orchard Pub. With over 20 beers on tap, over 40 single malts, 6 locations, and a full house of fans like yourself. There's no reason to spend another game night lonely. Now open on Salaberry and Chateauguay. Visit yeoldeorchardpub.com. Or find them on Facebook.
This is Demers who got himself back into the play. The shot hit Malkin. Now another penalty coming up against the Penguins.
I don't know. It might come
maybe
against
not.
Dallas.
You might be right. It might be against Dallas.
Yeah, Bonino
took a stick in the face. He's bleeding too.
Yeah, it was kind of an unintentional stick or elbow in the face, and Bonino's down.
Strange how things can happen in the game of hockey. The Penguins are going to have a two-man advantage now.
He's really in discomfort right now. Spezza missed a wide-open net. There's an elbow, just an elbow right in the nose, and probably broke his nose.
And Bobby, Demers, something happened to Demers at the other end of the rink. And he might have been looking for some revenge when he came up the ice.
Yeah, it was off a shot, and he's been physical. We showed it the whole game. There's Demers coming late into the screen, and I didn't know if he was hit by a shot or not, Stega, but he has played a physical brand of hockey, and this is going to be a five-minute penalty, I believe.
It was, and today he got a two-game suspension. It was a flat-out elbow by Jason Demers on Nick Bonino. Pierre?
Okay, so let's just go through this slowly and intelligently, and I know you will understand this. Yesterday we talked about the potential or the lack of suspension to Zach Rinaldo.
Yep.
So now I don't understand what the criteria is.
Well, it's a good question. I see, the thing about Rinaldo is the actual play itself, isolated, you could say, well, we've seen a lot worse, especially from that guy. But the timing of the play and the way that he dished it out, how high it was at the end of a period, and his reputation, you have to be totally naive to not think what Zach Rinaldo was up to on that particular moment. But
that's precisely my point. And I say this trying to be calm, trying to be focused, trying to understand both situations, both the Demers on Bonino and the Rinaldo on Couturier. Watched both, broadcast one, watched the other one. I don't know what the landscape is anymore. I don't. And that's why when you ask me about how many games or people ask me what do you think is going to happen, I don't know anymore. Don't know. I don't know what the scale is.
But that was a bad elbow.
That was last night was a suspensionable offense. There's no question. But the night before that, with a player with a reputation, that was a suspensionable offense as well.
What bothered me even more post game was the reaction by Lindy Ruff. You know, we've talked a lot about how, as the Penguins have done, as they did with Matt Cook and other organizations, Doug Wilson on Rafi Torres, Lindy Ruff saying, well, it wasn't that bad. I mean, by then he had seen it. I mean, how could a coach of a player who just delivered a violent elbow right in the nose, right in the middle of the face to a guy, defenseless guy, how could he come out and say publicly it wasn't that bad?
Because the tape that you just ran, and that's such a good question. It really is. It's so fair. Listen to Bobby Airy, who I loved. I coached Bobby. and Paul Steigerwald, who is a broadcaster for Pittsburgh, listen to the tape that you played. They're Pittsburgh Penguin announcers.
Right.
And they don't even think it's a penalty. They think it's a penalty against Pittsburgh.
Initially.
Correct.
And then they saw it.
That shows you how fast things happen.
Anyway, so Demers gets a two-game suspension for that. All right. On the oh, by the way, before we move away from Pittsburgh, the breaking news today is, as Gallo has been reporting all day with the, in terms of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and again, I thought a Dallas-Pittsburgh game would result in a lot of goals being scored. That wasn't the case.
Well, there's a split. No more Crosby and Kessel. Kessel moves to a line with Malkin and Plotnikov.
Okay, we'll see. Again, they're going to Nashville. Buckle up. Anybody watch Nashville play lately? That'll be easy for Nashville. They'll load up. They'll play Roman Yossi and Shea Weber, or they'll play Ryan Ellis and Matthias Ekholm, or they'll play Shea Weber and whomever, and they'll match up. That's the problem. I watched them last night. I give Mike Johnston credit here. They're trying to make it a difficult game for Nashville, because it's good. It's going to be tough. Nashville's good, and Pittsburgh's floundering. They may have won three in a row after losing three in a row, but I'm telling you, they're not looking good, and everybody knows it. There's no way to couch it.
Yeah, Pierre, I saw a lot of Anaheim-Nashville last night, and Getzlaff and Perry, they couldn't do anything.
That's what I mean. It's a tough game for Stars to play against Nashville, because not only are their depth forwards good checkers, their defense is the best in the league. They have the best defense in the National Hockey League.
Here's Ellis. Across, Yossi. Yossi looking. Ellis the shot, the score!
I believe that was goal number 2 of 4 for Nashville. The only goal scored by Anaheim was on a power play that's even much worse than the Canadiens, and was actually scored by Yuri Sikach. So we had the change in Columbus. Things don't appear to be getting any better in Anaheim, Pierre. Is there something... like, why would... I think it's a question you can ask all the teams at the bottom of the NHL in terms of power play. They all have talent. The Sedins, I think they scored on the power play last night, finally. The first one this year.
Yeah, because they put Verbata back with the Sedins, finally.
They did. They're loading up an offense in Vancouver. Verbata, Sedin. They have to. It reminds me of when I coached in Hartford. I had Sanderson, Castles, Verbeek, the CVS line. You may not have a lot of overall depth, but you got to load up. When you've got that kind of a team, you have to load up to try to score.
So it's not just the Canadiens. When you look at the talent assembled and you scratch your head and going, why does this power play struggle so much? They're not alone.
No, they're not. You know, one of the things is videotape or DVDs or whatever you want to call it, has made a big difference for coaches. And penalty killing's a lot better. It's harder for power plays. The one thing I give the Bruins a lot of credit for, coming out with the 1-3-1 and the bumper position for Patrice Bergeron, in the middle of the 1-3-1, it's totally changed. The Bruins are the number one power play in the league. Big reason why is because of the brilliance of Bergeron and the shooting ability of the guys that play at the point, whether it's Torrey Krueger or Zdeno Chara. And I think that's one of the ways of breaking down the elite coaching and the film study that goes on today. You know, Mitch, I have to tell you this. I think I shared this with you a long time ago. Barry Peterson, who was a very good player for the Boston Bruins, he was traded from Boston to Vancouver for Cam Neely. Eventually, Barry ended up playing for us in Pittsburgh. And I'll never forget, and we were really, Scotty was just so ahead of everybody else in terms of videotape. And I'll never forget Barry Peterson coming up to me after a meeting in the playoffs. And he says, "You guys are going to screw hockey up." And I'm like, "What do you mean?" He goes, "You will screw it up because you're going to overcoach it because you're studying so much tape. This has never happened before." He was so right. He was so right. And that's what's going on today. Smart guys are out there, and they're breaking down games. They're breaking down tapes. They're studying tendencies. And that's why it's so hard to score in a power play. It's really hard.
So are you taking credit right now for screwing up the game? Is that what you're doing?
No, but I was part of it. I definitely was. Hitchcock's part of it. Roger Nielsen, the late Roger Nielsen's part of it. Pat Burns is part of it. Jacques Lemaire is part of it. Scotty's definitely part of it. Lindy Ruff is part of it. Absolutely. Those of us that studied a ton of tape and lived in rinks for years and years and years, absolutely. We fouled this game up, no question.
I thought we played hard. That's a team that defends very well. You have to get through a number of layers just to try to get pucks to the net. But there was a lot of good things that went on with our club here. It's, you know, but you can't, now we're 0-8, moral victories aren't going to help us right now. But for a number of minutes, I thought we played hard. I thought we won battles on the wall. Played the way I think we're going to have to play to get us out of this. But we come up empty as far as points.
Most notably, John Tortorella behind the bench. He benched Ryan Johansson in the third period last night.
Yeah. He's sending a message to one player, but to the team. I understand that, too. I did that with Castles. I did that with Sanderson. I did that with Patrick Poulin. I did that with a bunch of players. I get it. I did it with Pronger, too. I understand that. Here's the one thing I would say. I told you yesterday I was concerned about the potential for this happening there because I'm not sure that's going to work there, number one. And number two, and this is really important, I watched that game. Turnover from Jack Johnson on the first goal to Ryan Suter is a puck around the boards, and Jack Johnson moves it. There's no winger there. Ryan Suter pinches down, moves it to Parise. That's 1-0. Goal number two, Nito Niederreiter in the high slot. No defensive zone coverage by Columbus. That's goal two. Goal three, Thomas Vanek on the power play right in front of Bobrovsky. Chip in and goal. No resistance. Damn, it hasn't changed. Now, to be fair to John, he hasn't had time to change it. But here's the deal. Colorado next, in New Jersey, in Washington, home against freaking Winnipeg, into California, home to Vancouver. When are they going to practice?
Puck held in Suter, left point. Suter makes his way along the left wall, left corner. Centering pass in front, they score. Oh, what a beautiful pass. Suter to Parise.
I'm going to take, there's the first goal Pierre was talking about. I'm going to assume that was a rhetorical question because a new coach being dropped into a situation that is almost hopeless at 0-7, now 0-8, and not having a chance to implement what he thinks he can implement to help them turn it around. Yeah.
No, I told you that yesterday. If they didn't win last night, this thing... They're 0-8. They're going to Colorado. Maybe they win. Maybe. I don't know if they will. But going to altitude from Minnesota? And trust me, Colorado's got an advantage at home because of altitude. And, no, this is not – I would never – I'm just – and I respect John Davidson a ton. A ton. He's a good friend. If you're going to – I'm not sure this was the time to do it because of the schedule. The schedule is ridiculous for them. It's ridiculous.
All right, closer to home.
Yeah, he's special. Yeah, he's very, very special. He's maybe a little bit overshadowed with McDavid being in the same draft year, but when I've seen him played so far, I've been blown away.
Max Pacioretty on Jack Eichel. Pierre, as you know, for some fans, this will be their first up-close and game-long look at Jack Eichel, his first game against the Montreal Canadiens. What are they going to see?
Slick shot, big body. Dominant skater, proud kid, franchise player, leader. He's the real deal. I told you a long time ago, 2 years ago actually, Eichel would have been 16 years old, that he's the next great player. Watched him practice a ton, went to BU, spent time around the weight room, talked to their coaches, Scott Young, David Quinn. This guy's the real McCoy. Real McCoy, you'll be blown away by how good he is. And you'd be amazed at his composure with the puck. You'll be amazed.
All right, so any of the kids you saw today at prep school, you want to drop a couple of names here?
Not yet. Too early. I know the good ones. I don't want to give away trade secrets.
Have a great weekend, Pierre.
Mitch, you're awesome. Thank you very much. How realistic is this baseball stuff?
The baseball stuff? Oh, you were listening to Mr. Fortier, huh?
Yeah.
We'll share a brew on opening day.
Wow. All I know is this. If Steven Brofman's involved, it's legit.
There you go.
That's what I know.
Thanks a lot, Pierre.
Have a great night. Take care. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy your family.